The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
That question, the question, what do we do when life gets hard? How do we handle things? And it's going to lead us to the end of the month as we talk about thanksgiving and praise. This morning, we're going to tackle, though, a subject that I know several people deal with. In a way, we all deal with, in a way. We're going to deal with or tackle how we can deal with broken relationships. Now, many of us have dealt with or will deal with divorce in some way, maybe in our family, maybe in a friend, maybe even ourselves. You might deal with a prodigal child, a family conflict. All of us will know the pain of some sort of betrayal and experience conflict with close friends. So we all know how that is. The Bible has many different types or things that they show us with broken relationships. Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Sarah and Hagar, Cain and Abel, and that's only in the first book of the Bible. It shows us over and over broken relationships. This morning, we're going to look at a story that maybe for some of you, if you're like me, you've heard this story many times before. Maybe for some, you are hearing this story for the first time. I encourage all of you guys to listen to this story like this is the first time you've ever heard it. It's a story of a father and his two sons. We can see this story in Luke chapter 15. It's a story of the prodigal son. Now this morning, I'm going to just tell you this story. You can follow along if you wish. Jesus is telling us this story. This is from Jesus' mouth. He is actually speaking to the Pharisees that we see at the beginning of this chapter, who's complaining and arguing about Jesus. Why are you spending so much time with those sinful people? And then he goes on to share with us a couple of stories like the lost coin, the lost sheep, and then he tells this parable. He said, there was a man. This man had a good life. He had two sons. Both sons worked for him, a younger son and an older son. They both worked for him. This father had quite a bit of land. Back then in their day, they were known for how much land they had, and also they were known for their sons, for their family. And so this father really had it all. Both sons were working for him. He had his land. Good things were happening. Until one day, One day, his younger son, we don't know exactly what happened. He just got fed up with stuff. And so one day he came to his father and he said to his father, almost demanded to his father, "Give me my inheritance." Now, to the father, basically, what his child was saying to him was, "I wish you were dead. Just give me what I need and I'm gone." The father was extremely hurt by this. This completely threw the father for a loop. What's going on? He thought about it that evening. He prayed about it. What would you do if you were in the father's shoes? I mean, his son was old enough. But yet, the traditional way is they got their inheritance when he died. This was out of the norm. Does he hate me that much? What have I done? What have I done to my son that made him hate me this much? I'm sure he thought about, if he takes his inheritance, he's taking away my land, which is basically taking away some of my name. I am known for the land that I have as a man. But the father gave him his wishes and gave him all his inheritance, the things that he asked. It didn't take the younger son very long. Once he received his inheritance, he gathered all of his things together and he was out the door. He was gone. I can't imagine what the father was going through while he was seeing his son going down that road farther and farther away, hoping that maybe he would come to his senses. "God, will you please change his mind? Because I know where that road is leading. That road is going to lead to disaster. That road might even kill my son. God, will you change his mind?" I'm sure he's probably looking at him, hoping that he would just turn around and run back and say, "Nope, psych, I'm kidding." But he didn't. Tearfully, the father watched as his son left. And his son didn't just leave. He left. He went far. He wanted no place with his home. He went to a distant country. And he took his money, his father's money, and he spent his father's money on living this wild, sinful life. Exactly what his dad thought he might do. And so for a while, he just lived in this glory of the money. And I'm sure he found friends that liked him because of his money. He was living it up, as the world would say. But one day, the money ran out. Famine even hit that country. And one day he looked around and he saw his friends maybe weren't really friends after all. And now he has no money, he has no friends, and he's all alone. Exactly what his father thought might happen. So he went to try to find some sort of living, some sort of money. So he went to a man and he said, "Let me just feed your pigs." He said, "Go ahead." Now back then, pigs were known as unclean, especially to the Jews. This was a very dirty, filthy job. A job that not even the servants would do. But this was all he could find. So one day, while he was feeding the pigs, he didn't have any place to stay. So he basically just lived with the pigs. And he was very hungry. And he looked at the slop that he was feeding the pigs. Because of his hunger, he said to himself, "That looks really good. If I can only just have some of the slop of the pigs." And he went to the owner, and the owner even refused him of that. "No, we're going through a famine. Do you know how much money that costs? Every penny counts. That belongs to the pigs, not to you. Get your own food." He's sitting now in that slop with the pigs, and he's thinking and remembering the times when he was back at home and thinking to himself, "Wow, I sure had it good then." And he even started to think to himself, what if I come home? "No, I can't do that. How would my dad act? He would probably kill me." But he had no other option. He started to rehearse in his mind what he would say to his dad. "Dad, I'm sorry. Please take me back." The next day, he got up and has started on his journey. Now, meanwhile, his father is back at home. And his father, every single day, I'm sure, is looking down this road that he saw his son go down, praying, "God, will you bring my son back from that road? God, will you bring him back in my life?" Every day he would look, hopefully, down that road, thinking maybe his son would return. But after a while, the hope was fading away. Until one day he looked down the road, and at a distance he saw a man coming. And he looked closely and he said, "I know that walk. That's my boy." Now, this father had all the right in the world, with the laws and everything else, to basically disown his son back then. But what does the father do? He hiked up his robe and he started running. He started running after his son. Now the son who's coming, he sees, "Is that my father? Wait, my father is running after me?" He's probably thinking to himself, "What is he going to do? Is he going to kill me? Is he going to run me out of here? But as his father comes closer, he notices as his father was running, he was crying. And he ran straight into the arms of his son. And he embraced him. And he hugged him. And he said, "You are home. You're home, my son. You're home." And his son tried to get out what he was rehearsing for so long. "Father, I've sinned against you." "No, don't say anything. All I know is that you were lost, but now you are found." "Servants, come near. I want you to go grab the best meat that I possibly have. I want you to grab the best robe and put it on my son. And I want you to tell everybody else around that tonight we are going to party. Tonight we are going to throw this feast and this celebration that no one has ever seen before, because my son who was gone now has returned." They started on the celebration, and the father did everything right. But yet, here comes the older son, mad. Calls for his father. His father comes to him, and he said, "I have worked for you all of my life, and you have never thrown me a party like this." And the father said, "All I know, son, all I know is my love for your son, for my son, my younger son, is as much as it is for you. He was gone, and I prayed, and now he's back. It's time to celebrate." This is a story of forgiveness, reconciliation. Even though the father was hurt, the father still had open arms. And I think as we look at this story, there are many things that we can understand and we can learn from how we can deal with broken relationships. In my own family recently, it seems like there's been a lot of broken relationships. I had recently a family member who I've always looked up to all of my life, where he had an affair, and then it led to a divorce. Through that, some of his siblings were kind of at odds with him. He felt like a lot of people looked down on him, and no one was going to take his side. After all, look at what he did. One day, I went over there and spent the day with him. During that time, we were able to have this one-on-one conversation. And in this conversation, because of my relationship with him, I felt like it was okay for me to be real and honest. And I spoke to my family member, and I said, I want you to know how much I've looked up to you my entire life. And I want you to know that when I heard the news of what happened, it devastated me. I looked at you like this hero. And you crushed me. And I know that you know that what you're doing or what you did is wrong. But I said, but I will always love you. And I am always here for you to help you. And we just spent the next 5 minutes or so embracing each other and hugging one another and crying. And he said, thanks, that's what I needed to hear. We all struggle with broken relationships in one way or another. Maybe it's someone in your own family. Maybe it's your own child, like with this story in the Bible. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's something that you have done. Maybe it's something that someone has done to you. So what do we do? How do we deal with broken relationships in our life? Well, the first thing that I think that we learned from the Father is, first and foremost, you have to humble yourself and lay your pride to the side. Even though the Father had all the right to say, no, you cannot come back. The Father had open arms. And he laid his pride to the side. And then what we also see from the Father was he forgave. Even with the words that his son said, the things that were done, he forgave. We also see in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, a scripture that kind of tells us how we can act when someone has done something. This is what it says. These are the words of Jesus. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So what we see in this passage is just like what I did with my uncle. If there's a broken relationship there, if someone has done something that hurt you, first and foremost, you always go to that person one-on-one. And you sit down with them. And if the moment is right, you reveal truth, but you show grace upon grace. You forgive, you humble yourself, and you lay your pride to the side. Now, what it doesn't say, we're not supposed to go behind their back and talk about them. We're not supposed to scheme about ways to get them back. We're not supposed to ignore the situation. We're not supposed to allow our anger and hurting heart to control our words and actions. These are the things we're not supposed to do. But what we are supposed to do is one-on-one going to that person and showing grace, show mercy, show forgiveness, show humility. It's much easier said than done, as we all know. And you might say, I don't have the power in me. And the truth is, maybe not. But if we truly believe that Jesus is all powerful, that Jesus is a man of miracles, we know that he can also rebuild this relationship. And he can give you the strength to overcome. If this one-on-one doesn't work, then it says, bring somebody else. Maybe someone who's neutral to the situation, maybe a pastor, maybe a counselor, to bring them along to help in talking with this person. Make sure you're not attacking them. It's not like a bunch of people, okay, now let's show them what's right. It's people sitting down and just talking and trying to help to understand. The Bible says, in everything we do, try to bring peace in relationships. So humble yourself. Lay your pride to the side. Forgive. Show grace. Go one-on-one. If that doesn't work, then the Bible says, bring in a neutral party to maybe help with the situation. And as always, do what I'm sure the father in this story did, where every single day he was on his knees saying, God, will you help my son to come back? God, will you help this relationship? Will you help my hurting heart? As a pastor, I have seen and I have heard so many people struggling with broken relationships. And it breaks my heart. Especially some of those situations that I've seen of doing a funeral and someone saying, no, you will not allow my daughter to come. If she steps in, I'm calling the cops. Situations of trying to talk to a man and to the husband and to the wife. And I can't even get a word in because all they're doing is fighting and pointing fingers and blaming and leaving the situation more angry than it started. I think I told you of this, might have told you of this story before. It happened several years ago, but there was a woman who came to my office and said, my marriage of 30 years is over. And after talking with her, I felt like God was telling me to tell her, you need to fight for your marriage. While we were talking, her husband looked himself in the mirror, and while he was looking himself, he said, what am I doing? I need to change my life. And I didn't even know it because I really didn't know this woman, but the husband started coming to church by himself. After several weeks later, I put two and two together, and I'm like, whoa, what is God doing? And then probably about 2 to 3 months later, the two of them came to church hand in hand. And they're still married today. That's what God can do. He can heal broken relationships. So never stop praying. Never give up. And there might be times also, I want you to understand this. The only person that we can control is who? Us. We can't control the other party. We can't control the other person. Sometimes you might go to that other person and you might not receive grace back. And if that's the case, we're able to live in peace because we know we have tried to do everything that we could do. And then so you just give it time and continue to pray. God is good, and he brings broken relationships back together. He can. I've seen it, and I know he can for you. This morning, we're going to have communion, but before we have communion, I just want to pause and have a time of prayer. And while we are praying, if there is someone that you're thinking of, if there is a relationship in your life, maybe in your family, that you're thinking of, that there's tension there, I want you to think about this person. Think about these people. And I want you to pray for them. Bring them up to the Lord and ask God to work in that relationship. So we're going to have a moment of silence as we pray. As you think about these people. And then I'm going to close us in prayer. And then it's going to lead us into communion. So let's pray. As we think about these people, these relationships in our life.